Check, check. The microphone works. What's up, Dr. FOMO? Welcome to the space. Just getting started. New Gustos here, so making sure that I can start this thing without completely blowing it up and destroying it. Welcome, welcome. We'll be starting the space here soon. I'm new at the helm here this morning, so I wanted to go through the reps of starting the space, making sure that I can be heard. I see some emoji reactions, so I'm assuming that means you can hear and understand the words coming out of my mouth being modulated through the speaker of my microphone and sent as digital bits over the internet. It'll be fun. We're going to have some good topics today. We'll be talking about a recent law that's being pushed. We'll be touching on a few other things. There was a quantum something or another happened at Presidio out in San Francisco. So we'll definitely have to check that out as well. But otherwise, no agenda. And looking forward to just talking about freedom tech and Bitcoin. And specifically the intersection with the warrior caste of society. Which for, if anybody is unaware, Bitcoin Veterans is a group that started many moons ago, right here on Twitter in a group chat. And, just a bunch of knuckleheads getting together, talking about Bitcoin with a shared history in the armed services. It evolved from that small group moving forward to Signal chats to a conference venue in Nashville for the Bitcoin 2024. And we're cooking up something special too. Bitcoin Veterans Summit coming to Nashville in November of 2025. So keep your eyes peeled for that. We got more information coming soon. Looks like we got a few more minutes. I have no idea. You know, I asked Bob how to do the spaces, and it looks like the instructions he gave me worked, but I'm not really sure how to play the music. So we're gonna acapella this thing today. We will not have live intro music, but maybe I'll figure it out as we go and have it for everybody tomorrow. Looks like we had the daily Intel bulletin go out today. Always great to see that. For anybody that's unaware in the crowd, all four of you maybe. We have a daily intelligence bulletin that Bitcoin Veterans publishes, puts out for the world, just hitting some high-level overviews. If you are one to follow the daily news, the daily intelligence bulletin by Bitcoin Veterans is definitely something that you're going to want to pay attention to. Got a bunch of different topics, each of those, international events, U.S. events, regulatory events or topics, CBDC, sort of world currency, tracking, institutional tracking, economic tracking, securities, technology, and then your general Bitcoin news. According to the DIB, extreme greed sentiment around Bitcoin today. You can also follow us on Noster. Over there, we publish the DIB, and if you like the content or the material that we're putting out here at Bitcoin Veterans, you can zap us Bitcoin on Noster. Direct value for value. There's also an interesting thing. We're going to have a myriad of topics this week. I didn't really come up with a plan yet day by day because I'm less prepared than your previous host. But I think we might get into some wireless comms, something that I think all veterans understand the importance of. So We'll see if that leads us there today. If not, we're definitely going to cover it another day. For anybody that wasn't paying attention in the past, wireless communications was critical to the Bitcoin veterans' response down in western North Carolina, eastern Tennessee during the Hurricane Helene event. So understanding those and grokking those is a big, big deal. I see the room filling up. That's great. We got about one more minute until we'll kick this thing off. Tell your friends. We tweet it. Or what do they call it now that it's X? It's not retweeting anymore, is it? Let's see, what does the button say? Repost. Repost it. Repost the space. Retweet the space. Put it on a letter. Send it to your best friend. Tell him to get in here. I'm curious if we have anybody that might be joining us that has strong thoughts or opinions on the Clarity Act or has reviewed it at all. I know everybody's abuzz about the new CBDC Act, all two of them, the one that's against CBDCs and the one that ushers in CBDCs under the guise of stablecoins, commonly referred to as the Genius Act. But according to my clock, we just hit the 1000 Eastern time hour. That means we are starting the Bitcoin Veterans Daily Space. Good morning, everyone. I go by Mining Goblin, at least on this part of the internet. I go by some other names elsewhere, and our normal hosts are taking a little knee, taking a rest, drinking some water, rubbing some dirt in their wounds, and getting ready to get back into the fight in full force in the coming weeks. But this week, Mining Goblin will be leading a discussion under Bitcoin Veterans handle, and so topics might deviate from your normal programming that could be good or worse for you. Either way, I hope you'll stick around and find out. If you want to come up onto the stage, I will try to facilitate that the best I can, with the caveat being that I don't know what I'm doing on X because I don't normally use this platform. But without further ado, let's just jump into checking out the DIB, the Daily Intelligence Bulletin. Block height, if you're unfamiliar, in the 900,000 range, wild. We are within 100,000 blocks of a million block height. Block height is the only number go up guaranteed on any given day. Every 10 minutes on average, we will hit a new all-time high of block height. But the block height at the writing of the Daily Intelligence Bulletin was 906,513, roughly about 1,200 Zulu on 21 July 2025. Bottom line up front from the DIB, the Daily Intelligence Bulletin. If you want to read more, we won't cover all the topics here from the DIB, the BVDIB. But top level, bottom line up front is there was a Syria internal conflict pauses. The IDF hits Yemen port with drones. Russian strikes Kiev ahead of talks. Director of National Intelligence Gabbard accuses Obama of coup. CBP officer shot in NYC by illegal. Genius bill signed, Ether up. UK prepares to sell Bitcoin. That's stupid. That was an analyst comment. China, UST holdings drop for third month. Block joins the S&P 500. That is Jack Dorsey's umbrella of company, Cash App, Square, Spiral, etc. Voice AI scams Florida woman. Yahoo Japan mandates AI productivity gains. And Bitcoin devs fix yet another bug. If you're not paying attention to the price, one Bitcoin is still worth one Bitcoin. You can also trade it for about 118,000 murder notes or 35.22 ounces of gold or roughly 0.28 of a median U.S. household. See you. Come on up, AC. Thanks for joining us. Market caps up 40%, 67 billion volume today with a 2.35 trillion market cap. Hash rate hovering around 900 exahash a second. If you've never written down the amount of hashes per second that the Bitcoin network does, I highly recommend it, right? We are at exahash, 900 exahash, closely approaching a zettahash. Just take the time, go look it up. It's very similar to the way that your storage is structured, right? You have kilobytes, megabytes, etc. And yeah, it's a really, really big number that I have a hard time pronouncing. Adding a few more speakers up to the stage here. If you're a regular, if you're a known entity, I'll invite you up. If you're not, and I don't recognize you, sorry, but I'm a new guest here, new guest host, so won't have it dialed in quite the way that Bob does. But good morning, speakers. You all want to come off mute, test the mics out, and just say hello to the crowd.
Good morning.
Good morning, my new Bob, our fearless leader.
New Bob? Going? No, I could never replace Bob. Just an alternative Bob, I guess. What about you, AC? Mic working this morning?
Hey, morning, Goblin. Morning, guys. Just want to say what's up real quick. Goblin, I think we talked in the back channels. If you need some help with co-hosting,
I'll make it happen.
Texas and I can help out with that for sure.
Sick. Thank you. Appreciate it. In other more personal news, I'm officially old enough to be a U.S. president as of yesterday. So pretty exciting day. Smoked a brisket for 18 hours. Downed it with some good friends. Went for a hike with the family and some good Bitcoiners. But today, the main topic of this space is SaveOurWallets.org. If you have not visited SaveOurWallets.org, I highly recommend it. It's a very simple landing page with very, very profound and long-lasting implications if you take the advice and take action. It is a call to action, SaveOurWallets.org, because as it stands right now, there's no very clear U.S. legal framework that protects non-custodial wallet providers. And that's what this wallet is all about, or that's what this website is all about. It specifically talks not of the Genius Act, which is on the tip of everyone's tongue because everybody loves shitcoins and stablecoins. Sorry, I said it twice. But because we love self-custody and we want to protect the innovation and the developers that are enabling the sovereign usage of this beautiful thing we call Bitcoin that we all find ourselves on common ground over. Specifically in this Clarity Act, if you go look up Clarity Act, it's a market structure bill. We won't be talking about market structure today because mainly I don't understand market structure. I understand math and cryptography, which is why I work on Bitcoin. But one of the implications of this Clarity Act, specifically in Section 110, as it applies to the Bank Secrecy Act, for any of you not familiar with the Bank Secrecy Act, it is a gnarly piece of legislation that enforces basically a surveillance state on the financial system that the U.S. dollar runs in. You have the requirement for KYC AML, also known as Know Your Customer or anti-money laundering, which has really been just a masquerade for the powerful elite to surveil and track all financial transactions to their benefit and largely to the detriment of the general populace. As we know, with any kind of prohibition that you can look at in time immemorial, it doesn't work. It just creates black markets, drives it underground. And so when you do not have very clear legal guidelines, you have people operating in a quasi-gray, pseudo-hostile environment. And that's sort of where a lot of non-custodial wallet developers have found themselves today in the U.S. The Clarity Act, Section 110, explicitly exempts non-custodial. If you're not controlling the user's funds, if you don't have access to the user's private keys by means of your software, meaning the user generates their own private keys or brings their own private keys and is handling all their key material, handling all the custody and the ownership of their Bitcoin or other digital assets, I believe is the way the bill is framed, then you are not regulated under the Bank Secrecy Act. You do not need to comply with money transmitter licenses. If you haven't been paying attention in the Bitcoin space recently, there's a very, very large legal case going on right now. Two of them, actually, where open source wallet developers of non-custodial tools, specifically Tornado Cash, which was an Ethereum contract, and then Samurai Wallet, which they ran a Whirlpool, which is a collaborative transaction coordinator, meaning they never took custody of anyone's funds. They simply passed messages around. On the Tornado Cash side, we won't get too much into the technical details of how Ethereum works, but it was a privacy-preserving smart contract that you could execute on the Ethereum network. But similar to Samurai Wallet, the devs, the people that created this software that were not controlling customer funds, that were not in control of the Bitcoin in the underlying system, were prosecuted, arrested, thrown in jail, the whole nine yards, right? Men with guns came and put them into a cage for writing free and open source software that enabled anyone using Bitcoin to transact in a private manner. Now you might be thinking like, oh, well, matter, privacy, right? Like, what do I have to hide? Well, I would ask, does anybody just blatantly leave the door open every time they go sit down to use the bathroom? Or even stand up to use the bathroom. I mean, sometimes if you're a dude, you'll stand up outside of a tree. Everybody's watching to see your beautiful stream. But for the most part, there are many, many private acts that we as individuals take. And I would assert that, you know, when the founders of this country started this country, they had no thought as to what panopticon would come as a result of the digital age. And so there's not any explicit or clear guidance except outside of the Fourth Amendment, the right to, or the prohibition of, you know, unlawful search and seizure sort of stuff. But we all have curtains in our houses. We all have private manners that we want. And then more fundamentally, Bitcoin itself, the key linchpin of the system is your private key. Without your private key, you have no Bitcoin. Without a private key, you have no internet security, right? This idea of private public key cryptography, also known as elliptic curve cryptography, is ingrained into everything we do in our digital life. And if that is violated, and the privacy online is removed completely, then there is no freedom. There is no wealth. If you have someone that you need to go ask to move your Bitcoin, you have no freedom. You have no sovereignty over that wealth that you have generated, that excess capacity that you've produced in this world that you're storing in the hardest money known to man. You can't do it if you don't hold the private keys. This is so non-custodial wallets are very, very instrumental. I want to say, AC or Texas, do you know of any non-custodial wallets that are your favorite? I'll start first. I'm a big fan of Zeus Wallet as of late. I'm kind of a latecomer to it. It's been out for some time. But Zeus Wallet's a fantastic self-custody wallet. It even enables you to do the Lightning service provider style, Phoenix style Lightning self-custody. How about you two?
Yeah, I've used them all. I have not used Phoenix or Wallet of Satoshi since they came back. So I'm curious how those are working out. But yeah, they're all good. I mean, the main ones have, they're all kind of the same and they work. So that's all you really need.
You want to name a couple that you've what's your recommendation? You got a brand new Bitcoiner. You're at your unit's reunion celebrating or perhaps an unfortunate, you know, funeral of someone you knew and, somebody's asking you about Bitcoin. What do you tell them? How do you get them started? Which wallet do you recommend?
Yeah, I mean, usually it's just to start, it's just Cash App. Usually is the start. I know that's custodial, but I know, but it's like you gotta get them on its baby steps. I found that if I try anything else, their eyes glaze over and they usually don't take that next step. So just getting them started with that, but then after that, a couple times they've come back and they've asked me questions about, you know, how do I get this off, you know, off of Cash App? Because I kind of tell them that, you know, this is custodial. And once you have any more than you're willing to lose on there, come back to me, talk to me and we'll figure out and I'll give you some more information. So then in the past, I've talked about Phoenix. I've talked about Wallet of Satoshi. Now that they've got they've got a self-custody feature on there. And then, I just go straight to Cold Card at that point. If they're asking me about self-custody, then, you know, they're interested and you can give them the good stuff, of a cold storage kind of best practices at that point. But that's usually my route.
Very nice. AC, what about you? You got a self-custody wallet you like to point newbies to?
Yeah. So, I think there were rolled up two questions during the conversation with Texas. My personal go-to wallet, daily driver is Phoenix and Goblin. I know we've talked in the back channels in the past. I've had that ever since before it was whatever pseudo banned in the US. Install the APK via Obtainium. So hadn't had a glitch, the entire time with Phoenix. Big fan of that. As far as newbies, you know, it depends on their level of understanding, experience, or willingness to learn. But personally, I've been steering folks who are, you know, newbies and beginners towards Aqua. You know, it's non-KYC. It does on-chain, it does Lightning, and then there's Liquid. And if they have a background in shitcoins, there's an opportunity to move Tether over into Aqua, and then from there they can swap into, you know, there is no second best Bitcoin. So that's what I've been steering folks towards. But if they're a little bit less experienced, less technical, less willing to learn, then maybe something like a Venmo or a Cash App. Or I just tell them to go buy the ETF because I'm tired of wasting my time with people. But, you know, it all depends on my mood, how I feel when I wake up and things like that. But definitely I do like Aqua as an opportunity or as a launch board for newbies and pre-coiners.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, paper Bitcoin summer is the hot topic. And, all, you know, ETFs were really started this spicy, hot paper Bitcoin summer. But my personal favorite paper Bitcoin is eCash, Cashew, or Fedimint. It is not, it's the best shitcoin in my opinion because you get some privacy in there, but it is paper Bitcoin. As far as self-custody wallet, I'll second Phoenix and just, caveat with the, you know, AC, what do you mean APK, Optanium? What are you talking about? I don't know. I'm on iOS. What is that? Do I download that in the App Store?
Unfortunately, if you're on, and I know this is a little bit of tongue in cheek, but unfortunately, if you're, on iOS, you're in a walled garden that has a centralized authority with visibility into the system that you're using. Personally, I prefer to use, a little bit more freedom tech in the form of, let's call it a custom ROM for Android, specifically, Graphene OS, which removes some of the Google Play walled gardens and visibility into the smartphone that people are using, myself included. Unfortunately, that makes it a little bit more challenging for people to download apps. You've got to establish, you know, Google Play in a sandbox if that's where you want to download apps. Or, you know, there are things like F-Droid, or there's an app called Optanium, which you can, let's say, download the APK or the Android package file, I forget what it stands for, to install apps, and Optanium kind of acts as that interface to find releases and APKs that are compatible with your system, as well as notify you when there are updates. Probably a little bit too much for this conversation, but hopefully it's enough of a teaser that people can go jump on the search engine of their choice and start to do a little bit of research and do their own homework. Hopefully that helps.
Yeah, no, that's super helpful. To try to put it succinctly, you know, Graphene is a custom Android implementation. And then specifically Android versus iOS, Android allows for something called sideloading of apps where you can just download a file and install that app from the file. So if it sounds a little advanced, it might be, but luckily for you on iOS, there's plenty of options within the App Store for self-custodial wallets. Second, I've tried Aqua. I've tried Phoenix. As I mentioned before, Zeus. I'm also a big fan of the Nunchuck app, nunchuk.io. That's a great app, especially if you're doing, a good friend of mine, fellow BB, uses that to sort of Uncle Jim for his family because you can sign up in Nunchuck, have an account, et cetera, and they give you a chat feature. And so you're able to do multi-sig a lot simpler than some of these other wallets. Or you can just have a single sig on your phone. The other nice thing, if you're on iOS, go check out Cove Wallet. So C-O-V-E. It's got a beautiful wave icon. That's a newly released wallet that's designed specifically looking at on-chain and making the on-chain experience great. It's got like your tap to NFC. It's got your keys that you can hold on your phone. And when I say tap to NFC, I mean like you tap at the store to check out with your Apple Pay. That same technology is called NFC, and you can use that with some of these hardware wallets. So your keys never have to leave that device, but you're able to still transact freely and have a pretty smooth user experience. I see we got a hand up for the speaker, Bitcoin for Precedence. What's going on?
Hey, what's happening? I was just going to add to the wallet conversation. I actually do use Nunchuck in a cold wallet, so I like what you just said there. But I steer people towards Blue Wallet when I'm, I guess, orange pilling or trying to orange pill. And that just gives them a basic, easy to use, and it's a hot wallet, but, you know, it's basic and easy.
Yeah, absolutely. I've recommended Blue Wallet. I've used it myself. What do you mean by hot wallet? What do you mean?
Hot wallet just means it's connected to the internet. That's all.
Why does it matter, right? We need to be connected to the internet to use Bitcoin. So why does it matter for a hot wallet? And what other kind of wallets are there?
I like what you're doing there. You don't want your keys anywhere near the internet. So first, for a self-hosted cold wallet, you keep them on a hardware device or just keep them in seed form up in a stamped plate of some sort, or just write them down if you have to. Put them in a couple different places if you're nervous about your house burning down or something happening to your seed phrase. Have a copy at your aunt's house or mom's house or whatever.
Yeah, so tying it back into the headline title here of SaveOurWallets.org, you know, all of these different wallets, these are all non-custodial wallets, meaning the developers, the maintainers of these wallets don't have access to your funds. They're simply giving you the tools to leverage this new paradigm that is Bitcoin, where you can have a physical thing that represents your key. And luckily, our stupid monkey brains are great at protecting physical things, right? We've had safes for a number of times. You know, you can go hit the gym. You can become proficient in firearms and other weapons and be a very, very extremely peaceful person so that nobody messes with you. But that ability to move your seed from one device to the other relies on these non-custodial wallets, these services, from being freely available. And then most importantly, being updated, right? If there's some wallet out there that has a bug, let's say, an issue with the software, you need these wallet developers to have the liberty to go write the code needed to fix that kind of stuff. And in our current legal environment, it's very, very opaque sort of how that goes. And more importantly, if non-custodial tooling services, wallets, are regulated by the Bank Secrecy Act, there's like zero way to actually comply with the requirements of KYC AML, right? Like you can't, if I have the ability to go take a wallet, download it from online, install it onto my phone, how is this person ever supposed to know who I am and make sure that I'm not doing illicit activity with it? This is akin to me, and this is a great parallel drawn during my day on the Hill for the BPI summit. It's like going and, you know, AC's got a hammer and hits Texas Toast with it. And instead of worrying about preventing or monitoring AC and his usage of said hammer, they go after me for making the hammer. So I craft this beautiful hammer and I sell them to all kinds of people. And I don't go around saying that this is a weapon for death and destruction. I say, this is a hammer. You should build your house with it. Build a tree house for your kids, whatever. But one person or, you know, a few people misuse this hammer and go on a hammering spree. And now I get thrown in jail as the creator of this hammer. It's not an exact parallel, but I think it's a pretty apt and fitting parallel where you don't go after the makers of the tools just because they want to offer the tools to people that current power paradigms don't like. You go after the people using the tools in the wrong way. You can see this like cars. You can see this argument with guns. That would probably especially resonate with, you know, the Bitcoin veterans community or the broader veterans community is, hey, what happens if, you know, after whatever shooting, whatever shootout, somebody dies and then, you know, the owner of 6 Hour goes to jail? That's just a ridiculous premise. And so Section 110 of the Clarity Act exempts non-custodial wallet providers from these draconian legacy KYC AML rules. You still have your hand out, Bitcoin, for precedence? Did you have more to say?
No, it doesn't show my hand.
You're good. I might be glitching my
screen. And, towel. Going forward, BFP's my handle these days, thanks to Bob.
BFP, got it. Tao, welcome to the stage. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Good morning. We just hit 119K, but the reason why I came up was
that's a really low block height. Are you sure? I think we're in the 900,000s.
The reason why I came up was because you guys were talking about Lightning Wallet. And I just want to say, you know, the evolution of it has been tremendous. Back in 2021, when I was playing around with a whole bunch of different wallets just to see which one was good, the fees, the capabilities, mainly playing with Moon and Wallet of Satoshi and doing comparisons, right, and Blue as well. One of the things I found during that time was the problem with liquidity. A lot of the channels that those Lightning providers, they didn't have enough liquidity. I would like send 100,000 sats here, 100,000 sats there. There are times where I failed a lot, but as the years went by, it evolved like really, really well. Like there was no more errors. One of the things that I did was when we actually had issues, I actually reached out to Wallet Satoshi or Moon and made like a comment on Twitter, and they were really quick to respond. So you think about it, that was a good sign that, hey, this is going to improve. It's going to take some time. And as I've been using throughout the years, I just feel that everything has been like so much more smooth. There's new wallets like Primal, right? And like I said, Phoenix and all those other wallets that I have, quite frankly, haven't used those as well. But what I'm saying is Lightning is, I know people shit on it because they said, oh, it doesn't scale, et cetera. And my thing is, it's always scaling. It's always working. Like there has not been one point in time now where I've used Lightning where it fails like it did 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, there's CoinOS, CoinOS.io. There's like so many new providers you see. And this is the beauty of Bitcoin, because like people can just go and implement something based on the protocol. And it, there's no restrictions, right? As long as you follow the rules, it's going to work. So I'm really bullish in regards to how Lightning is going to perform. We have like actual retailers like Stake and Shake using Lightning. So I don't know what any complaints are these days. I haven't seen anything. So I'm looking forward to the Wallet Satoshi. I don't know, is it out yet? The new Wallet Satoshi that now is back in the U.S. because they banned it right, a few years back. And I think they're back there in beta. Has anybody started using it yet?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't gone back to Wallet Satoshi. I do know that they were working. The last news I saw was they were working on a self-custody option, right? Because the original Wallet Satoshi, Primal, like you mentioned, Strike, Cash App, all these are custodial, or they were. And that you do get very, very, very smooth user experience with that, because you're not having to manage that liquidity. And that's where the trade-off of these Lightning service providers come in, is it's a messy thing managing liquidity. It's like, how do I receive Bitcoin if I have no Bitcoin? And that's one of the problems with Lightning, or at least one of the bumps in the road that you have to overcome. And this Lightning service provider, where it's basically you have a channel with just the Lightning service provider, the LSP. So whenever you open up Phoenix Wallet, and I believe Zeus will sell you channels as well through their Lightning service providers. But whenever you open that up, you are running a Lightning node on your phone, except your only channel is up to the LSP. Some of these enable you to kind of like do some other channel management type of stuff, but they're really, really smooth user experience. The downside is that is, you know, and it's not a downside, it's just an economic reality, is these wallets have to maintain a business model, right? They're running a business, so they have to charge some fees somehow. And some of the wallets are more clear cut on what those fees are. And if you are sending 100 sats to somebody brand new on Phoenix Wallet, you might see that on the receiving side, it's not exactly 100,000 sats, or on your sending side, you've sent a little more than 100,000 sats. And that's because they're taking a fee on that initial channel establishment. The way that Lightning worked, the best analogy I've heard thus far, is it's like having an abacus between us. So if myself and AC have a Lightning channel, we start it up, and when we open it, I have all the beads on my side, meaning I have all the liquidity on my side, and I can only send liquidity out to the other side. But as I slide those beads over towards AC, now the liquidity is at a different balance. And up until the point that I slide him the first bead, he can't slide anything back to me because there's nothing on his side. Now there's ways of doing, they're called like dual funded lightning channels and everything like that. But it's kind of an issue in the sense that you have to work around these limitations because you're using a very, very sovereign. Lightning is probably the only sort of sovereign layer two that Bitcoin has, right? Many people are out there asserting that, you know, ETFs are layer twos and Cashew and Liquid and all these other things. But those involve trusted third parties, right? With Lightning, in so much as you can hit the main chain where you can go broadcast a transaction and get it confirmed in a block, you can exit from that channel, right? You can exit from this protocol back to Bitcoin main chain. That is completely different than, you know, I'm not even sure of ETFs offering like in-kind redemptions or, in the case of like a Cash App or Strike, you have to go to that company and say, hey, please fulfill this, you know, wallet order or fulfill this Lightning invoice or fulfill this, you know, send Bitcoin to this address. And you're at the, you know, the behest of that company. You have to trust that they're going to be running their software, that your account hasn't been flagged in some way, shape or form. And generally speaking, and especially now that we have a more pro Bitcoin administration, I think that those companies are going to be able to continue to scale and make those offerings. And to what BFP's point was, it's great to start with these smaller amounts, right? Send $5 of Bitcoin to your friend on Cash App just to get them started. But as they start getting up into higher purchasing power of their Bitcoin, you know, you get a couple hundred thousand sats in your wallet, a couple million sats in your wallet, you're going to want to look at exploring other ways, right? You're going to want to look at how do you safely HODL this Bitcoin into the future? Because it's a great store of value, but that store of value implies that in the future, you're going to be exchanging that value that you've been storing and accruing for something that you want to buy, goods or services.
Yeah. One of the things that I recommend people do, and it's not as difficult as people make it out to be, is if you're running your own node, something simple as an Umbro, and you can go ahead and open your own channels. It's a great sort of like feeling to be able to say, hey, here's my node that's at home. I'll open a channel to say any big sort of like, Lightning node that's out there. That wallet Satoshi is a node. You can like, I use LM Big was one of the nodes that I'd used in the past. And the beauty of this is you can be outside. And it's so amazing, right? The fact that this works. You're outside, you launch your app, right? Your client, like Zeus, that connects to your node at home. And you say, pay. You pay the sender wherever, the merchant in front of you. You're not using a custodial wallet like Strike or whatever, because it's your own node that you're, you know, connecting the sats with. It was so beautiful when I did this at a merchant that was selling tacos. Like, it was like, this is actually the future. I mean, it was very a small example because it's not prevalent all across the U.S. or all across the world. But the fact that you do it one time and you can just sense the power that, hey, you are literally your own bank, right? You don't need to worry about anything. In the past, though, connecting to your node at home was a little bit more not as smooth. And I don't know what the reason is for that, depending on the network that's being used. I don't know the details, right? Onion.
There's a tons of reason why that's friction, right? Yeah. It's similar. And I posted something on the X handle here of, you know, the same people that are telling you that self-custody is hard and dangerous are the mm-hmm. people that told you that grandma was never going to have a Wi-Fi router or use email, right? All of technology, right? The first guy that discovered fire and burned himself on it and was like, oh gosh. Like somebody somewhere in his cave was like, you're retarded. You should stop using this fire. You're going to burn everything to the ground and we're all going to die. But then the other guy in the corner was like, no, I think you could actually, if we take this chicken or this squirrel or this whatever animal and just put it over the fire, we cook it. It tastes a lot better. It's like pre-digesting, right? Probably not the exact conversation, but I think you get the picture. It's the usability of new technology. And we're still very nascent in this whole Bitcoin journey, right? It's 16 years old, sweet 16. And the tooling, I mean, at some point in the past, you had no way of creating a seed phrase. You could not create 12 or 24 words as a representation of your private key because nobody had developed that tool yet. Nobody had developed that specification. And so it just takes time, and Lightning's coming to maturity. You know, I think Lightning was what, around 2017 timeframe or something like that. Was very, very new, rough around the edges. And now we have, you know, nodes in the phone and Lightning, connecting international businesses as a Bitcoin payments rail where you can self-host it yourself. You can participate in this. For those of you that are on Noster, it is the biggest Bitcoin circular economy in the world. It's, you know, I don't know the number of people, but everybody on there is able to use and leverage this thing called the Lightning Network to exchange value for value, right? So if you think my shitpost is super funny, you can tip me in sats. Send me 21 sats, send me 2100 sats. You can send me, you know, 2.1 million sats if you really wanted to. Might be a little difficult on the, depending on what Lightning node you've got and the channel capacity and all that. But it just says like the usability of this technology is only going to get better. And it's not just this technology, right? And when I say this technology, I mean Bitcoin. The fundamental underpinnings of Bitcoin is this thing called cryptography, which is just special math. It's math with remainders, but really, really, really large number of remainders, right? So it's like, I can use this thing called cryptography to protect myself and protect my data, protect my family. You can use it to protect your communications. You can use it to protect your files. And Bitcoin is just the apex form of this cryptography where we figured out how to protect our money from all the various harms that have come to money in the past. First and foremost being inflation, right? Where your money is being debased constantly, but it's also protecting your money from, you know, from theft in so much as you can keep those keys safe, protecting your money from fire, right? Like my keys won't burn in a fire, and you know, maybe the paper, you know, written down form will burn up in a fire, but if I have that backed up somewhere else, you know, a non-custodial wallet, like those protected under the Section 110 of the Clarity Act, saverwallets.org for more information on that. It's a superpower to be able to migrate between these things. And it's a protocol, not a platform, right? You can't back up your Cash App Bitcoin because it's custodial, right? They're not going to give you keys to do that. You can back up your Zeus wallet. You can back up your Blue wallet, your Nunchuck wallet, etc. And you can load that same wallet into any other piece of software that supports the underlying protocol of Bitcoin wallets, specifically BIP39C phrases and BIP32 hierarchical deterministic wallets, or HD wallets, are some of the most common forms of recovery for that. So it's like a superpower, right? We have this secret that only you and God know, and nobody else can figure it out, right? You can't go from a pub key to a private key. As much as the quantum bros think that we can right now, we're a long way off, in my opinion. Speaking of that, I just retweeted this morning. Rot13 had a great review of, there was a quantum Bitcoin focused conference, if you would, out at Presidio Bitcoin in San Francisco. So poke around that if you want to understand this quote unquote quantum threat. But let's briefly stop and shill something that we have upcoming. November 10th and 11th in Nashville, Tennessee at Bitcoin Park. The Bitcoin veterans will be throwing a 2-day event. The first day is the main event, the summit, Bitcoin Veterans Summit 2025. We're going to have workshops. We're going to have speakers, panels, et cetera. Huge networking event. If you are a veteran and you're new to Bitcoin, it's a great opportunity to come out and mingle with other veterans that are familiar and can get you leveled up to the next level in your Bitcoin journey. If you're a Bitcoin OG, somebody that's been around the space, come and learn, you know, what the warrior class is bringing to Bitcoin, right? There, not everybody is going to be, have the disposition to sign up and serve a greater cause, like many veterans did when they joined the military. Although some of us were greatly duped by the propaganda, but, you know, we bring a very specific and unique perspective and motivation to the Bitcoin space. So come explore that with us on day one. And then day two is aimed at being extremely peaceful and not harmless. We're going to do a range day and other stuff. So if you've been to Bitcoin Veterans Range Day in the past, we did one last year at the Bitcoin Conference 2024 in Nashville. Huge success. Some sporadic range days here and there throughout history. But if you want to come shoot with the shooters that really know what they're doing and get leveled up, whether you have never touched a gun in your life, come on out. We'll have some for you to touch and handle in a safe, secure manner. Or for, you know, the active everyday shooters, we're going to have targets up. We're going to have drills. We're going to have different categories of, shooters, you know, beginner, intermediate, advanced. And that's going to be day two. And if you want to stick around in Bitcoin Park, Wednesday of that same week is going to be Nosterville. So if you're curious what this thing, you've heard it pronounced Noster. If you have no idea what it's about, maybe stick around after the summit for that third day event, get the ticket and show up to figure out what this new cryptographically underpinned system called Noster is, or protocol really, not a system or a platform. Imagine if you had your X account and every tweet that you put out showed up on Facebook, Instagram, etc. That's one of the abilities that Noster brings to it, aside from the Lightning payments and tips. If you want more information on that, you can check out the last tweet that I just sent out, or you can go to bitcoinveterans.org/summit2025. Again, that's bitcoinveterans.org/summit2025. On there, you've got a link to the meetup so you can get on the wait list. Or if you are a veteran or somebody involved in the space, you have an idea and you want to volunteer, help us out, or sponsor the event, or give a presentation. We're going to be trying to stack the bench of presenters and speakers with veterans first and foremost, but we're open to anybody joining us and contributing value. So check it out, bitcoinveterans.org/summit2025. What's next? What topic do we want to cover next, gents? I think we've hammered the self-custodial wallets, right? And the importance of it. I think the one thing to highlight lastly is this is a call for action, right? The Save Our Wallets specifically will give you a way to contact your representative. The Clarity Act with the Section 110 intact that protects these non-custodial wallets passed through the House, the U.S. House. And so the next step is passing through the Senate before it's signed into law by the president. So if you are inclined to political action or, you know, civil action, go ahead and check out saveourwallets.org. There's a place you can punch in your zip code. It'll give you who your representative is. It's not hard to figure out. Senators, there's only 2 senators per state. So you got, you know, very good chance of figuring out which one that is for you. Send them an email, call their office, leave them a voicemail, leave a message with their staffer and tell them that the Clarity Act should pass with the same verbiage as it came through the House. We don't need this thing chopped and, you know, torn up in the Senate. And if it is, let's just make sure that Section 110, that protection for non-custodial wallet developers, stays in there. Have you contacted your senator yet, AC?
Yeah, I have actually. And we'll see how that goes. Unfortunately, where I am, we were, I would say, a mostly red state, but dominated by, you know, some major metropolitan areas that are been pushing us in the other direction.
Yeah, and red or blue, right? Like this Bitcoin, in case you're not aware, Bitcoin is for anyone. It's not for everyone. Not everyone will get it, but it is for anyone. So whether you're red, blue, or purple, your senator needs to hear about it, right? Just tailor your messaging accordingly. And this goes to any time. If you've done any kind of public speaking or briefing, presentation training, I did plenty of that in my time during the Navy. You know, you got to know who your audience is. You're not giving the same presentation to the sled dogs and the boys before you go out on an op that you're giving to, you know, the full bird colonel before he approves the operation for you, right? Those are 2 different audiences. So if you're in a blue state with blue senators, you want to talk about consumer protections, right? Giving people the ability to use the Bitcoin that they want in the manner that they want. That's very critical to this. And if you're in a red state, you want to talk to your senator about the regulatory clarity that we need to unleash the innovation. And I've even made the assertion talking to Senate staff during that BPI day on the Hill that there's a brain drain that could happen if this law is not clarified and the prosecution of open source developers continues in an unhindered manner. Developers, especially Bitcoin developers, we're smart. We know how to hold our keys in a way that don't expose us to these physical threats. And you know, I've had it firsthand from some people. They're ready to leave the US if it gets nasty with the regulatory and legal framework. And all that talent, all of that skill is going to go elsewhere. Luckily, it's free and open source software, so their changes will land on the interwebs. You'll still be able to take advantage of it. But if you want true innovation and true unlock of Bitcoin's potential, it is critical that we keep developers in a safe jurisdiction that aligns, you know, with the ideals of freedom and liberty and self-sovereignty. which I believe the U.S. still has potential for. What about you, BFP? Have you called your senator?
That's a no, I think.
Yeah, maybe not. What about Tao?
No.
Called your senator?
No, I don't. I don't get into that kind of thing because I don't have any faith in this government anymore. Lost all faith. And I think Bitcoin offers you the sovereignty of not caring about any of that and just holding your own keys. And, you know, I'm not a developer, unfortunately, but I wish I was.
Yeah, no worries. You know, you gotta fight the battles where you are best equipped to fight them. So if you're not inclined to the political action thing, there's lots of ways that you can go about this. Whatever business you're running, whatever industry you're part of, being the best at that and savagely stacking Bitcoin to cold storage is gonna help the people that are politically involved that are trying to make, you know, jurisdiction A, B, or C friendly to Bitcoin and the developers making this thing happen. Texas Toast.
Yeah,
have you done it?
I'm currently. Go ahead.
No, I'm not rich enough. I don't, I mean, I've sent out those little, built emails and stuff before. If they make it easy enough, I'll click it and send it. But, I'm kind of the belief that your voice doesn't really matter until you're of the donor class, and I'm not there yet. So.
Well, luckily we have a very large donor class in Bitcoin that, definitely influenced the previous major federal election. So I'm hopeful to see some change. There are a lot of people that were paying attention and saying all the right words, at the BPI summit. Think of it what you will for the people that do some things in DC. But the folks at the Bitcoin Policy Institute, they know the ethos of Bitcoin. They know the advantages of Bitcoin and, you know, they're putting in the work where they see they can best fit in.
I think reading The Sovereign Individual, the book, kind of ruined me for what I think the future holds. I think Bitcoin's going to offer a lot more small government instead of this big machine that's gotten out of control.
Oh, absolutely. And I think I've been on the spaces here before talking about building strong local communities. So first and foremost, that's always the recommendation is build your strong local community. That doesn't have to be a government thing. You don't have to run for mayor or city council or board of supervisors to have an impact in your community. If you're a business owner, you know, open it up, receive Bitcoin, be that beacon of orange light in your community. Because the vibes are high, right? Everyone else is scrambling and trying to make sense of this chaotic clown world. We as Bitcoiners, we're having fun and people are taking notice, right? Because when your purchasing power goes up, you have a lot more fun. You have a lot more liberty to pursue the happiness, and the passions that you have as an individual. And I believe that if everybody did that, the world would be, you know, a net better place. People would be happier. So keep grinding locally, BFP, and do your thing the best you can as a sovereign individual. It's beautiful. I see we got a new speaker up with a hand up. What's up? Welcome to the stage.
Hey, what's going on, gents? Hey, I just wanted to shamelessly plug Ron Paul's 90th birthday is August 9th down in Lake Jackson, Texas. So, you know, obviously based on the conversation we're having right now, I don't know what kind of impact Ron Paul played on any of your guys' monetary awakening, but just wanted to throw it out there. I'll be there. I know a number of other vets will be there. So, you know, if we run into each other, great. I just wanted to throw it out there that it's August 9th in Lake Jackson.
I got two questions. One is, do you have your Bitcoin veteran swag to wear to the event? And two is, who's Ron Paul and why does it matter?
Obviously, I have my Bitcoin swag. I'll be wearing my Bitcoin veteran's hat. Walking around with a Bitcoin American flag, hoping to get a signature from Ron Paul. But, yeah, I mean, Ron Paul just, I was the Marine in 2012 saying Ron Paul 2012, getting all sorts of crazy looks, you know, supporting the anti-war candidate that was clearly the most principled, politician that I know I've seen in my lifetime. And I think somebody who played a really significant, important role in just the whole movement towards hopefully rediscovering, you know, sound money and what the importance of sound money is, to this country. And I think the rest of the world, and that movement has kind of, you know, it's been crazy to see over the last 12, 13 years, the connections within the Liberty movement and the movement that he started and where we're at now with the best chance that we have to give the world sound money, like truly sound money. And just what the guy meant to the idea of the sovereign individual. It's just, he's just a, you know, I'm like the biggest Ron Paul fanboy out there. I'm sure there's plenty of guys or people on this call that know what his importance is to even the Bitcoin movement, and just understanding money and rediscovering sound money. So, that's who he is to me anyway. I'm stoked to hopefully maybe meet him. You know, he's 90 years old, and everybody on this call, I'm sure, especially if you're a veteran, understands the importance of time and that we don't all have, you know, depending on where you're at in life, we don't all have a lot of time left. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. And, I'm personally also a Ron Paul fan. So don't let that slip by as a slight to the man. He's done a huge lift in, awakening a huge group of people to sort of the unjust nature of the Federal Reserve and what it means to have centralized control of the most fundamental aspect of society, which is the money, right? If you don't quite understand that, the Federal Reserve sets the interest rates that all banking and financial institutions have to sort of follow downstream from. And so what that means is, what is an interest rate? You know, an interest rate is sort of the cost of capital. When I borrow money or I borrow capital from somebody, what is the rate that they're expecting to get back? And so we have price controls. We have centralized price controls, and we've had it since, you know, and it's grown in sort of impact and scope into this gnarly panopticon of surveillance state and control. But it all started with central banking and Federal Reserves. And when you have centralized control of the price of something, any sane economist will let you know that historically doesn't really work out. You get, the opposite, you know, the price of whatever you're trying to control either fluctuates down or up, in the wrong direction. That's usually then intended. Saw a couple of you coming off mute though. Did you have some more to say on that?
Yeah. Mining Goblin, do you know who owns the Federal Reserve? Cause that's a question that really nobody can answer to me.
As I understand it, the Federal Reserve is actually owned by the member banks. So you
Which
have like the Fed of
persons,
and
though.
The Fed of Cleveland.
Everyone always says right, that right. kind of stuff. Like, I want to know who are the people that own, because it's a railroad system that we all have to, like, we're forced to use their railroad instead of, like, the Bitcoin railroad is much better. And that's the way I like to frame it.
Who owns the Bitcoin railroad?
Everybody who's involved in Bitcoin. So anyone who owns a fraction of a Bitcoin is part owner. Whereas the Federal Reserve, they obfuscate who owns it. That's why it's private, which doesn't make any sense.
All the Fed really did is they have a very unique trick. When they create money, they create debt at the same time. That's the trick, right? They just hold the keys to pulling that trick off on all of us, is that every dollar is a dollar of debt. And that system mathematically has a very real ending conclusion to it. Like, you can't increase debt exponentially at infinitum without some sort of psychological, like, trigger event happening somewhere down the road. So that's all the Fed is they're like illusionists. They just created a system of money where all the money is debt itself, and that, you know, that's gonna end, and Bitcoin's gonna end up taking its place because it doesn't operate on a system like that. It's a more pure, you know, evenly distributed system where it doesn't steal, it doesn't fundamentally steal everything out from underneath everybody, like as it's operating. That's the operating system that the Fed has.
Yeah, it's a predefined set of rules, right? That's commonly referred to as consensus for what makes a valid transaction. And then within that consensus rules that everybody operating in Bitcoin voluntarily consents to, right? You're opting into this new system. You're opting out of a different system. But the new system you're opting into, you know, just the same way BFP doesn't understand who owns the Fed, neither do I. It's very clear cut what the rules of Bitcoin are, right? The rules of the dollar system, of the Federal Reserve system, of the banking system, much like the legal system, I would say, are very opaque and ever changing. And there's small nuances and gotcha all over the place. You know, the rules of Bitcoin are relatively straightforward. I mean, there's not too many things. Now, some of them you might not understand because you don't quite understand what like a difficulty adjustment is, right? But the rules of Bitcoin can be summarized pretty succinctly. Let me see if I can find this note from Marty Bent on Nostr where he laid out just six rules. If you were watching the Vegas conference, you saw him on stage talk about it. But I'll let somebody else rant on here for a little bit while I look for it.
Yeah, I'll just say I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that we can make the transition at a fast enough rate from one system to the other without. I mean, there's going to be pain along the way as the transition plays out. I mean, I honestly think that's what you're seeing when it comes to like wars around the world is just the system's crumbling and it's transitioning at its current rate. But my hope is that the rate increases fast enough to where the amount of pain that you have to go through to make the transition is lessened, right? Cause it's not going to be pretty. From making one transition or making a transition from one system to the other.
Yeah, absolutely. And transitions between system are never pretty. And I think we could probably harken this back to the comments of strong local communities, right? It's like, who is helping you, your family, anybody else transition to this system? Who is giving them the rules that they should, you know, follow for this new system? And if you're not actively involved in that, I think you're doing yourself a disservice, especially if you're a veteran, right? We are prone to action. We are prone to doing things that we believe are for the betterment of our fellow man and woman. And, you know, sharing Bitcoin, what it is, how to use it is, I think, doing a greater service than we ever did, serving our nation's military. Did you have more to say there?
No, I just wanted to throw that out there.
All right, awesome. Well, we got a little bit of a tight rip here. We're about 4 minutes, 3.5 minutes or so from the top of the hour. I know myself and AC have to go right promptly at 11 o'clock. But I wanted to thank everybody for joining us today, Bitcoin Veteran Space. I go by Mining Goblin here in the X Sphere. I've been running the Bitcoin Veterans handle now for a few days, so you might see a slight change of topic and or wording, but I will be here for the rest of the week as best I can at 10 a.m. Eastern for the Bitcoin Veterans Daily Spaces. We'll cover the DIB topics. If anybody in the crowd or in the audience has a topic they want to see covered, questions, nothing too big or too small can be asked, and we'll try to, if we can't answer it ourselves as the Bitcoin Veterans group, we've got a deep bench of talent, experience, and knowledge that we can pull from. But if we can't pull from that our bench to get those questions answered for you, we will go out into the Bitcoin industry and we will find the individuals that can answer that questions for you. Because if nothing else, when veterans are tasked with an objective that is very clear cut, we attack it with a ferocity that not many people have the stomach for. So thanks everybody for showing up for today's spaces. We'll probably wrap it just before the top of the hour so we can close everything out. If I'm not mistaken, this is the part where I remind you not to shitcoin, to suck less, to do better, and most importantly, continue to study Bitcoin. Thanks everybody for joining, and I hope you have an above average rest of your day.